thanks for having me, and thanks for coming out, everyone. I'm going to read an excerpt from this book that I'm working on right now called Happy Ending. And basically, all you need to know is that there are two brothers. They both just lost both parents and a youngest brother in a car accident, probably about like 4 months ago. And so following that, the youngest brother, or the new youngest brother, has dropped out of college and gone to stay with his older brother in Philadelphia. So he's been spending the whole evening walking around with all of his bags and hanging out with hipsters and drinking, even though he's only 19 years old. And he finds himself at the Trocadero for their annual karaoke contest. On stage at last, Tobias blinks in the lights. It is impossible to make out any distinct features, and his heart is in his throat. He feels it beating there, feathery and wet. He feels very dry. This has happened before. When he used to sing in front of his family, he would get the same way, even when he was six. He will sweat like crazy after, probably for the next few hours, just a compulsive bleeding of water from his pores. For the next few minutes, however, and with the exception of the back of his throat, he will only feel dry. He adjusts his grasp on the microphone, and the music begins. In theory, he doesn't entirely trust his voice, but after the random interaction with the master of ceremonies to whom he owes this song, after the whole long day, rousing himself at 5 a.m, the sky still dark and heavy with the last of the night, picking up his bags and getting to the train station, leaving college behind without so much as a farewell to anybody, he feels like he's got to go balls out and sing the bejesus out of this stupid song. Don't cry for me, Argentina. He feels his arm, the one that isn't holding the microphone, moving. It rises out as though to grasp the audience. He imagines Madonna. He closes his fist on the people he imagines out there. He pulls them into his solar plexus. The truth is, I never left you. He waits all through my wild days. Sorry. I was just there, you know? I was just living it. He isn't thinking of the words, but he's comfortable as hell somehow. More comfortable than he's been in ages, maybe since puberty, but he can't help thinking. It's got something to do with the accident and not having parents anymore. He knows that everyone in the audience will like this song because it titillates their irony button, but he means it, and probably that's why they'll like it even more. My mad existence, I kept my promise. He's raising himself up on the balls of his feet. He means to pirouette. He's taking up the whole stage, feeling the extent and bounds of his whole bulky teenage body, what has been foreign to him for so many years now. It seems to be coming back together, and he loves it. And he loves the audience, and he thinks that maybe instead of getting married, he'll be an actor, go on Star Search and become a celebrity, become a celebrity that they put on magazines and cigarette boxes. He does a John Travolta move, and then all at once surprises himself on his knees. Don't keep your distance. Not afraid of the possibility of his voice cracking. He's sure it'll be better if it does, and when it does, he knows it is better, and he just goes all out, almost like he's about to cry, and loving every moment of mockery, making a mockery of himself in front of so many people in such a concentrated way, especially after he just made such a sad, pathetic show of himself in front of everyone else he knows at school, leaving them, leaving his professors who like to tell him he had so much promise. He sings that promise here, because in front of a room of strangers, he has nothing to answer to. Philadelphia must indeed be a promised land, he thinks, a place where your brother can't take care of you at all because he doesn't know how to make you a stupid meal and tuck you up in bed because he's not your mom. It's nevertheless a place where no one cares a dick from Adam, and he can carry all of his stupid bags around the whole stupid town and it still means something. He hopes Fletcher is crying, that's his brother. He hopes that he is devastating Fletcher with his over-the-top earnestness to such an extent that Fletcher is stealing away to the gross man-trough bathroom and crying his fucking dumbass eyes out. Tobias smiles, suddenly at home in the world. And then the song is over. He wins one of the prizes. Since he went last, after the competition is called, they give him a booby prize. He gets 2 free tickets to a boxing match, which one of the bartenders offers up. He's that good. And then, outside on the stoop, with all of his dumb bags all over again, everyone else inside, they aren't ready to leave yet. Tobias just starts to cry, finally. And he can't get up, even though he feels stupid crying in the midst of this city and all its people. All its pretty people with funny clothes and fancy tattoos and stylish jokes, all of his fans. He can't help but cry, and when he finally does, he can't stop until Fletcher finally finds him in the eaves of a doorway to a store that's closed for the night. And then Fletcher hugs him and tells him that it's going to be all right, finally. I promise, buddy, he says, we'll get through this. Tobias almost believes him, too, until he feels a strange pressure on his thigh and pulls away, disconcerted by his brother's erection. What the fuck? Oh, Fletcher's drunk. He's slobbering drunk, but he's laughing. I'm so sorry, dude. He shakes his head. He's laughing so hard he's crying himself. Fletcher looks at his pants. It was a joke. It was a joke like hours ago. I took a Viagra on a dare. It's got nothing to do with you. Thanks.